This is a report from Small Business Britain in partnership with Square and Clearpay, Female Entrepreneurship, Moving Forward. The contents of this report include foreword, executive summary, recommendations, all the women independent, show me the money, let's grow, and methodology. Small Business Britain is the UK's leading champion of small businesses, supporting all 5.5 million small businesses in the UK, no matter their background or circumstances, their location, their industry, or their size. Through a series of reports, events, and campaigns, Small Business Britain champions, inspires, and accelerates small businesses in the UK to foster growth and increase confidence. A foreword from Michelle Ovens, CBE, founder of Small Business Britain. At Small Business Britain, we sit at the heart of an incredible community of female founders who educate and inspire us every day. However, this is relatively unusual in the business community, a community that is dominated, close to 80% in the UK, by male-led businesses. This is clearly something that needs to change. I am asked a lot about why women do not start businesses more. But for me, the interesting conversation is around why women do start businesses and what they are doing with them once they do. The women I know, work with, and speak to every day have a real fire for entrepreneurship. And it is driven at its heart by a desire for independence, freedom, and control. Women are shaping their lives and futures so much more now than even a couple of decades ago, and this is leading to exciting things. Indeed, as I see women taking on the challenge of starting a business and bringing with them their own way of looking at the world and addressing challenges, I see the very nature of entrepreneurship changing in the UK. We should be wary of measuring female-led businesses through a traditional lens of what business success should look like, which can often be very male in nature and tone. We should not aim for female owners to be more like male owners, but instead look for value as defined by women themselves. I believe women are making entrepreneurship more meaningful in many ways. Businesses are becoming more focused on their impact on the world, on society, and on their communities. Businesses are realising their power to create new kinds of workplaces, to offer flexibility, compassion, and to embrace a different type of workforce. Founders are still focused on making a financial success of the business, but not at all costs, and not necessarily above all else. This is creating new and interesting ways of doing business, and is, I think, an exciting development. I would like to see the conversation around female entrepreneurship growing in the coming months and years to encompass everything that women bring to startups and to leadership. The passion, focus, creativity, inspiration, collaboration, and growth that will come from this will be a guiding light for all businesses, not just those run by women. I am hugely optimistic about the future of female entrepreneurship. If we can properly support and inspire women to make the jump into starting their own business and give them the tools they need to succeed, we have an incredible future ahead of us economically and as a society. It will be a sight to see for sure. It has been a great pleasure to work on this report with Square and Clearpay, and we look forward to moving forward with inspiration and support in 2024 and beyond. Executive summary. Female entrepreneurs make up just over 20% of all UK business owners. According to the Federation of Small Businesses, they contribute £221 billion to the economy. This has seen growth in the last 5 years, but lags behind male-led businesses considerably. Some historical barriers to starting a business as a woman are now being addressed, but many remain. So what is next for female entrepreneurship? This report explores the current pace of progress for female entrepreneurship in the UK. Partnering with Square and Clearpay, Small Business Britain has spoken to thousands of women about their experience of entrepreneurship. What works? What needs to change? Conversations with entrepreneurs have highlighted three areas that are driving interest, engagement, and growth. The notion of independence, the need for and lack of financial confidence, and drivers and enablers of future ambitions and growth, such as AI. This report looks at the primary motivations and challenges that female entrepreneurs face, and proposes strategic interventions to support their growth and sustainability in the world of entrepreneurship. Women have made considerable strides forward in the last few decades in terms of starting and growing businesses. However, they are still a minority when it comes to business representation. There is a long way to go to see real equality in business ownership. Whilst entrepreneurship can provide the freedom and flexibility that many women need and desire, it still holds a mystery, a complexity, and for some it can feel like a club that is incredibly hard to get into. As those barriers start to come down, we look at what more can be done to speed up this process. We surveyed over 1,000 female founders from a range of businesses and backgrounds across the UK. Our data provides some clear insights into the reasons why these women started their businesses. 60% were seeking independence, and a significant proportion also reported financial stability and personal fulfillment as key factors. The women we surveyed also reported that setting up their businesses created new opportunities when they're faced with issues such as losing their job, at 17% of founders, managing childcare with work, 37% of founders, managing their health with work, 11% of founders, and low incomes, 12% of founders. There is clearly an economic benefit to supporting women into entrepreneurship. Despite these benefits, women still face challenges that can hinder their business progress in the UK. These include financial barriers, lack of confidence, and systemic obstacles in business environments. Maylene Sear, founder of Noor Anisa, said to us, "My brand was born out of a growing community of Muslim female entrepreneurs, and this was something that I wanted to be part of and support, which is when I started my branding business. There were a lot of women who started their business during COVID, as I think a lot of us felt misunderstood in terms of our values and faith in the workplace. Social media gave us the freedom to start our businesses as things seemed possible for anyone. Muslim women like me wanted their own money, to be able to travel and be present for my children. It kind of all fitted in with the lifestyle that people want to aspire to, and obviously they could practice their faith more openly. We are solving our own problems in our community and creating a wonderful community of women forging that." The drive for independence is a key motivation for women starting a business, with 60% expressing the desire to be their own boss. Nearly half, at 49%, of women started their business to balance demands of life and work, demonstrating that greater control and freedom are at the heart of the entrepreneurial spirit for women. Other motivations include pursuing passions or hobbies at 44%, as creating a meaningful and rewarding working life is just as important as making money for a substantial number of women taking this route. Some data on inspiration for female entrepreneurs starting a business. 60% said being my own boss. 49% said to improve work-life balance. 44% said pursuing a passion, hobby, or side hustle. 36% said to have more flexibility after having children. 29% said a great business idea. 26% said to choose where I work from. 24% said making a social impact. 17% said leaving job being made redundant. 12% said needed to make more money. 11% said to accommodate my health needs. 6% said to have more flexibility to care for relatives. 5% said unable to access mainstream employment. And 3% said taking a course or further education. A significant barrier to business growth that women are facing is financial confidence. Nearly 3 in 5, 57% of women, report that a lack of business knowledge and confidence hinders their progress. And 39% find it difficult to secure necessary funding. This is a more prominent trend amongst ethnic minority female founders, where there is a big gap in access to finance. 88% of founders started their business with their own funds, with finance both hard to come by and for many just not seen as a viable option. Women share that this lack of confidence goes back to school and often feel that this is embedded in how they see business and their motivations today. Businesses interviewed noted little to no financial education at school or further education, and highlighted that focus on financial growth is often seen as a culturally inappropriate thing for a woman to do. Promise Okoye, founder of Deluxe Giftbox, said to us, "I think it's very challenging being a woman and wearing so many hats at the same time and wanting to be seen as a good, successful business owner. I would say that is a big challenge even through the years. I'm still struggling with that. We ask businesses their sources of finance planned to be used in the next 12 months, and they told us 37% working capital in the business, 20% personal savings, 18% grant, 11% credit card, 10% business loan, 8% overdraft, 7% family and friends investment, 4% crowdfunding, 3% supplier finance, 3% equity investment, and 3% personal loan, 2% startup loan, 2% invoice factoring, with 32% saying they have no plans to seek additional financing. A lack of conversations around finance have led to a lot of women feeling uncomfortable discussing the topic with other businesses, and a lack of peer-to-peer support with the topic. It also means that most of the founders we spoke to are very reticent to take out debt, seeing all debt as a bad thing. There is little engagement with the idea of debt being good for growth and using finance as a benefit to, rather than a burden on, the business. There is an opportunity to redress this balance with better financial training and more information to give women greater confidence in making strong financial choices for their business. Promise Okoye continued saying, "Easier access to finance would have really helped me, but as I was a startup, I didn't know where to go or how to look for finance. Some support to access loans or even tell me what options there were would have been so helpful, but because it wasn't there, I just funded the business myself." Betsy Ben, founder of Betsy Ben Limited, told us, "My philosophy has always been that the business can't cost me any money, so I was never going to get in debt for it. I needed to contribute to the household income again after a couple of years of just being a mum. I avidly pay every invoice that comes in. I hate having credit. I had a bounce back loan, but it sat in our bank and I paid it straight back as we were busy during COVID. I would love to expand and grow the studio, but I just don't have the guts to go for it financially and risk it all." There is a strong sense of optimism about future growth among female entrepreneurs,
with 65%
expecting their businesses to grow in the coming year. This trend is again stronger amongst ethnic minority female founders, with 76% anticipating growth in the coming year. In fact, overall, 40% of women anticipate growing their income by over 20% in the coming year. This growth is largely going to be driven by the introduction of new revenue streams at 62%. However, there remains a gap in confidence and preparedness for engaging with more complicated financial instruments and investors to springboard additional growth. Addressing this gap could have huge positive potential for these businesses. There is, however, an optimism around new technology, such as AI, with 55% currently using the technology and 21% planning on adopting AI for their business in the next year. It is primarily being used to save time at 33% and maximise marketing at 37%. With huge opportunities to engage more in the future. Jessamine Hislop, founder of Little Pickle Markets, said to us, "There's not a day goes by where the team and I aren't learning and growing digitally, whether that's marketing, our app, or our website. There's always something to learn, and AI is very much on our radar. I have been going 14 years, and I see no reason not to get to 20, especially after overcoming the challenges we faced." Recommendations. Policy interventions. Number one, enhanced training programs to build confidence, focus on financial literacy and business management training. Number two, access to finance. Develop more accessible funding initiatives specifically targeting female entrepreneurs. Community and network support. Number one, mentoring programs. Grow robust mentoring networks for guidance and support specifically targeted at women. Number two, networking opportunities. Facilitate events and platforms for sharing experiences and resources. Technological adaptation. Number one, digital literacy. promote the adoption of digital tools to streamline operations. Number 2, innovation in AI. Encourage the use of AI through practical training and examples of use cases to enhance efficiency and marketing. Encouraging and supporting female entrepreneurship is essential to the UK's economy. It also drives growth, innovation, and community development. By addressing the specific challenges faced by women in business and supporting their independence, financial confidence, and future ambitions, we have an opportunity to significantly enhance the impact and sustainability of female-led businesses for the benefit of UK PLC. Small Business Britain, Square and Clearpay will continue to work with the UK's fantastic female entrepreneurs to further empower and inspire them. There are clearly great things to come from the nation's women-led businesses, and we're excited about what the future holds. Chapter 1. All the Women Independent. The number of female entrepreneurs in the UK has grown since 2018, from 16.65% to 20.46% of business owners, according to UK Finance. This distinct, though not overwhelming, progress is driven principally by a need for independence. Our research found that 60% of women started their business to be their own boss. In interviews, this is a key factor in the decision to move into running a business. The control and self-determination that comes from being the decision maker, taking charge of their own destiny. Independence, more than making a fortune, is by far the key driver for women. Owning a business is a relatively new phenomenon for women in the UK, and one that many are embracing, albeit often tentatively at first. The pace of change in women starting a business, however, is concerningly slow. Victoria Cousins from Perky Blenders said to us, "We were both in corporate roles with a one-year-old and looking what the future looked like for us as a family, and it wasn't what we were doing. I wanted the flexibility to work and spend time with my child, and we both had that entrepreneurial itch. So we went from there." The government-backed Rhodes Review created the Investing in Women Code in 2019 to encourage more women into entrepreneurship and to drive funding to female founders. Neither have seen significant success to date, with the amount of investment going to female-led businesses remaining stubbornly around the 2% mark, according to the British Business Bank.
In 2024, the Prime Minister Rishi Sunak
announced a new Investing in Women task force to address the issue of investment and to inspire a generation of women to start and grow their own business. This will be one to watch in coming years for progress on these goals. There is a strong theme of taking control from female entrepreneurs from the research for this report, often in a world where they feel that work and institutions do not best suit or accommodate their needs. For example, 49% of founders started their business for better work-life balance, creating a lifestyle for themselves that they may have found lacking in a workplace. Nazia Anwar, founder of Social Blocks, said to us, "I was working in higher education, where I've worked most of my life, and you get to a certain point as a woman, and especially as a woman of colour, where you've got all these opportunities for growth, but the pay doesn't come with it, and the kind of increasing rank doesn't come with it either. And I was just really frustrated with what was happening at work. So after the lockdowns, I decided to take on Chairing World for my son's school, and thought this is going to be okay, it's not too bad. It's a challenge, something to get stuck into. But I started giving it about 15 hours of my time a week. I also have an invisible disability, so energy levels are not the same as others." Helen Holt, founder of Styled Home Studios, said to us, "I am a mum of two and I'm also married to someone in the military, and we move every 2 to 3 years. So it was a huge challenge for me as a self-employed professional photographer to sustain a business. So the idea of an online business that didn't matter where I was emerged and massively suits my lifestyle." Flexibility becomes a big factor in this. This may be flexibility around care responsibilities such as children at 36%, or relatives, an additional 6%, or sometimes flexibility in location, 27% of entrepreneurs. Many women have shared that the push from employers for a return back to face-to-face work, or working in an office after the COVID-19 pandemic, is of great concern to them. The additional flexibility of work, particularly around managing travel, care responsibilities, and even fatigue, is a very welcome change for many women during the pandemic. But as employers are pushing staff back into offices, some women are finding that they can no longer make the juggle work, so are setting out on their own instead. Women are inspired by their friends, family, peers, and case studies of other women taking the leap into entrepreneurship and finding both financial success and personal fulfillment. Creating and telling these stories and showing women the pathways into entrepreneurship is and will continue to be critical to further growing the number of female founders in the UK. With women making up 48% of the workforce, according to the Office for National Statistics, there is clearly an opportunity for a more equitable makeup of founders in the UK. According to the ONS, median pay for full-time employees was 7.7% less for women than for men in April 2023. Just as women are more likely to be in lower paid jobs than men, they are more likely to be running unfunded or lower earning businesses than men. Why is this? Let's move on to the money. Chapter 2. Show me the money. The story of women and finance in the UK is a short one, and there is some catching up to be done for sure. Women have only been able to open a bank account in their own name in the UK since 1975, a remarkably short period of time in the history of business. Prior to this, single women, without a husband to sign for them, had to get their fathers to open a bank account, apply for a credit card, or apply for a loan for them. Women have made some progress in the last 50 years towards more independence and financial control, but it is a less than complete journey. There remains a reticence in women to seek finance, and a nervousness around talking about money remains for many, though by no means all, female entrepreneurs. When starting up, 57% of women were held back due to lack of business confidence and knowledge, 27% were held back by lack of financial literacy, and 39% were held back by lack of access to finance. Women are not being furnished with sufficient skills and confidence to start and grow a business, a challenge that must be addressed in order to level up gender equality in business ownership. Whilst independence comes up as the biggest driver to starting a business, women do still want to run financially successful businesses. They may just have different ideas about what that success should look like. Jan and Leo, founder of Coco Rose London, said to us, "In my experience as a female founder, I hesitated when it came to seeking external finance. When I initially set up my business, I funded it through my salary, as I was working full time, and then through my redundancy package. Money was incredibly tight, and there were days when I sacrificed lunch. Despite this, I persisted with bootstrapping, because raising external investment was completely out of my comfort zone, and I felt intimidated by the finance world. We asked businesses their confidence that they will grow in the next 12 months. 27% said yes, they were very confident. 38% said they were somewhat confident. 23% said not very confident. 5% said lack all confidence. And 6% said they don't know. Only 12% of women in the research said they started a business to earn more money. But that does not mean there's not an ambition to make money. What seems to be holding women back is a lack of business skills and financial knowledge, rather than a desire to grow. In fact, 2/3 of business owners expect their business to grow in the next year, which is encouraging. In fact, ethnic minority founders are even more ambitious for their business, with 76% expecting to grow in the next year. This is, however, without the benefit or support of external investment or other financing. The most likely measure women are taking to support their business in the coming months is to bring in new revenue streams, at 62%. There is a big reliance on working capital, 37%, in the business as a route to growth, even if that means going a bit slower than would be ideal. When starting out, women are most likely to rely on their own funds, 79%, rising to 88% for ethnic minority founders, with 58% still never having accessed any external finance at all. Women are overall nervous about debt and about the pressure of repayments. There is a strong message that all debt is seen as bad rather than opportunities for growth. This is an opportunity for education, training, peer-to-peer inspiration, and to grow confidence in female business owners, to see good finance as good for business. Equally with equity, nearly half of all women owners do not like the idea of an investor owning part of their company. This speaks to the fundamental reason for entrepreneurship: independence, not financial success. This needs to be well understood when creating new solutions for female entrepreneurs and when setting expectations for targets and external investment. Sarah Kedge, founder of Sarah Kedge Holders: "It would be really nice to think about whether I'm not a fan of loans because I'm not a fan of financial investment, or whether this is a result of my cultural upbringing. I come from a working class background. I was never taught how money works. It's only in the last 18 months I've realised how money actually works. This is helping me overcome the working class cultural legacy around getting into debt. A loan may actually help accelerate my business if used properly. Even now I have the knowledge, I don't have the confidence to get finance. I still need someone to sit with me and go through the process." We asked founders about the barriers facing them when starting their business, and they told us 57% business confidence and knowledge, 50% sales and marketing skills, 39% access to finance, 38% work-life balance, 38% business planning, 34% lack of professional support on business network, 31% lack of mentoring, 29% concern about taking on debt, 27% financial literacy, 27% balancing childcare responsibilities, 23% stress and or mental health, 23% digital skills, 20% logistics or business operations knowledge, 20% lack of female founder role models, 11% having the right skills in the team, 10% recruitment and people management, and 5% balancing caring responsibilities other than childcare. Half of the women surveyed did not understand enough about equity investment, which is a key area that can be addressed. It is not just the availability of finance that is a challenge for women, but the will to apply for it in the first place. Training programs and earlier intervention to give women the skills to start and grow a business are needed. These need to be geared towards the distinct needs and experiences of women, which are not necessarily about women's things, such as childcare or healthcare. Training for women needs to acknowledge this need for independence, this relatively new world of female entrepreneurship, and to understand that women are far less likely to have finance for their business from the outset. This training also needs to recognise that female-owned businesses may not always be aiming for financial success as a primary goal. There may be other success factors for the business owner, over and above scaling, that need to be considered, such as independence and flexibility. Understanding these key drivers will allow for women to create successful businesses on their own terms, encourage the next generation of female founders, and allow for a more positive conversation about finance overall. We are heading for an exciting future. Chapter 3: Let's Grow. The exciting future for female entrepreneurship is driven by a strong will to succeed and an encouraging appetite for innovation and technology. While just 20% of entrepreneurs are female, there is clearly opportunity for growth in numbers as women overcome barriers to starting and growing a business. Key support interventions, such as skills training, can make a difference to women having the confidence and opportunities to start and grow a business. What this growth means is not necessarily the same for every business, and not necessarily the same for women as for male entrepreneurs. Growth might not mean scaling at a fast pace. In fact, it might not be scaling at all. It might not be done with interventions from external finance, or in fact with any financial investment at all. Success might mean growing impact. It might mean hiring other women. It might mean critical impact in a local community. It might mean combating climate change. The range of things that women are looked to do is incredibly broad, above and beyond financial success. When we measure success of female entrepreneurs, this needs to be considered. Lisa Sharp, founder of LJS Ladies Boutique, said to us, "I started the business in 2018 and moved to premises in 2019. And then, of course, we had to close in March 2020. I didn't want my business to fail, so I started running it from home as we were still allowed to go to the post office and I was still allowed to accept deliveries at home. So I just basically pushed LJs on social media. And during that time, we grew 871%. I wanted curvy ladies to have more range than they had been offered before, to have more styles, colours and patterns, and we did that during the pandemic. The Facebook page started with 1,000 followers, and now we have 45,000. So our audience was definitely out there. And I knew that, as at the time, I was one of them. Our first year's takings was 120,000, and last year's was 1.8 million. For female founders, there is a lot of excitement about growth, and the majority are expecting to grow in the next year.
65%.
Rising to 76% amongst ethnic minority founders. Embracing new opportunities in technology, such as artificial intelligence. There is a huge interest in AI, with 55%, rising to 65% in Greater London, of founders using it. In fact, we have seen a strong growth in women using the technology across many areas of the business, contributing to sales, marketing, digital channel growth, content creation, and much more. Indeed, 37% of women say AI is helping with marketing, and 33% say AI is saving them time. Gaining new skills in the business is a challenge for all entrepreneurs, but particularly for female founders. Often women report that their skills have frozen in time at the point where they started the business, when often they left a more structured training program as part of employment. Women are looking for more support in sales and marketing at 39%, business planning 25%, overall business confidence 19%, and financial literacy at 13%. We asked entrepreneurs what their growth expectations for the next 12 months are, and they said 16% think they will grow more than 50%, 23% think they will grow between 20 and 50%, 26% think they will grow less than 20%, 19% think there will be no change, 7% think they will decrease by less than 20%, 3% think they will decrease by between 20 and 50%, and 1% think they will decrease by more than 50%. Promise Okoye said to us, "I use AI for everything now, all our copy and blogs, as it makes life so easy and helps streamline our work and saves me time, which is so appreciated." Creating flexible, accessible training specifically for female founders is critical to ensuring that entrepreneurs continue to grow and succeed. We are seeing a huge growth in a new kind of portfolio career for women who are not just starting a business, but may also be delivering training, mentoring, teaching, writing, and a whole roster of other activities. Women are starting to spread their wings and embrace possibilities, and it is exciting to see. Empowering women with the relevant skills, technology, and support in financial confidence can be transformational for the future levelling up of female-led businesses. This will lead to more growth and opportunity for female business leaders, which will contribute to the economy and society as a whole. Methodology. We surveyed 1,067 businesses, and we interviewed 15 businesses. Businesses that took part in this research were located in the following locations: England South East, 18.1%. England Greater London, 14.4%. England South West, 13.6%. England Yorkshire and the Humber, 8.3%. Wales, 8.1%. England North West, 7.6%. England East of England, 7.4%. England West Midlands, 6.7%. England East Midlands, 6.1%. Scotland, 5.2%. England North East, 2.7%. And Northern Ireland, 1.7%. Businesses that took part in this research were of the following age: less than 12 months, 6.1%. 1 to 2 years, 13.6%. 3 to 5 years, 27.4%. 6 to 10 years, 25.5%. And older than 10 years, 27.4%. Businesses that took part in this research were from the following sectors: retail, 25.9%. Health and beauty, 9.4%. Arts and recreation, 9%. Professional and scientific, 5.5%. Administration and support services, 5.3%. Hospitality, cafe and restaurant, etc., 5%. Information and communication, 4.2%. Manufacturing, 3.2%. Tourism and travel, 2.3%. Finance and insurance, 2%. Construction, 1.3%. Accommodation, 0.6%. Wholesale trade, 0.6%. Primary, fishing, farming, mining, etc., 0.4%. Energy, 0.2%. Transport and storage, 0.2%. And other, 25.2%. Businesses that took part in this research had the following turnover. Less than 10,000, 22.7%. 10,000 to 50,000, 34.2%. 50,000 to 100,000, 15.9%. 100,000 to 250,000, 13.7%. 250,000 to 500,000, 7.1%. 500,000 to 1,000,000, 4.5%. And 1 to 2,000,000, 1.6%. Over 2,000,000, 0.4%. The businesses that took part in this research had the following number of employees. 1 employee, 57.6%. 2 to 9 employees, 36.6%. 10 to 24 employees, 4.5%. 25 to 49 employees, 0.9%. And more than 50 employees, 0.4%. Thanks to Square and ClearPay for their ongoing support of this work.